Live from Miami and Utrecht, this is the fan Willem Sjorsnedo.
Hello.
Hey Sjors, how are you doing?
Not bad. I think it's warmer here than where you are, but...
It's pretty warm here. Yeah, when this podcast is being released, it will be day one of the conference. Bitcoin 2021 in Miami. We're expecting like 12,000 people, so that's pretty significant. It's the largest cryptocurrency conference yet to date. Are you impressed?
Yeah, it sounds big. I mean, I kind of like bear markets more because I think a subset of the people that go to that conference will stick around for the bear market. So
real men are made during the bear market, Sjors.
MV, yep.
All right. Today, we are discussing the Bitcoin improvement proposal process, the BIP process.
That's right.
So yeah, the BIP process, everyone has heard of it. Although, probably not actually, like you said, lots of new people in the space, lots of people have no idea what the BIP process even is. So I guess we're going to explain it to them as well. So let's start, Sjors. What is a Bitcoin improvement proposal, aka a BIP?
Well, it's just a document with a number that describes, that proposes an improvement to either Bitcoin, like the protocol, or, you know, how nodes communicate, or it can be more of a standard, like a wallet format, or, you know, the mnemonics, the 39 or the 24 word backup phrases. That's a BIP. Or it can be a meta thing, you know, like BIP1 and BIP2, which describe the BIP process, are also BIPs.
Right. So yeah, in a way, this is a little bit of a meta episode as well, because we have discussed a number of BIPs. And now we're going to discuss what a BIP actually is and how the process works. So yeah, you just explained what a BIP is. It's a piece of documentation for something in Bitcoin that requires some level of coordination, or that could benefit from some level of coordination. Do you think that's a fair summary?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're
I mean, one of the rules is that you should not write a BIP for something that only you use yourself, right?
Exactly. If you're building something patented, for example, or just something that's just for your wallet, if you're a wallet developer, whatever it is you're building, and it's of no use to anyone else, then that doesn't need to be a BIP. But if you're building something that could benefit others, or that's useful for others to know, then you might want to draft a BIP so other developers, or maybe not even just developers, but I guess mostly developers, they'll know, you know, it offers a standard. So an example you mentioned is like a seed format for backups. So if you have one seed format, then other wallets can use that seed format as well, so people can easier switch wallets if they want, for example, or use some sort of standard backup device that's sort of compatible with all these things. Or they could be actual protocol changes. You know, how do Bitcoin nodes communicate with each other? How fast? You know, let's say someone wants to make a protocol upgrade that precludes miners from mining for the first 9 minutes. That would need a BIP.
No, that wouldn't need a BIP.
That wouldn't?
That would need a BIP.
Yeah, that would need a BIP. Exactly. That's what I said. Like any protocol change, this was something someone actually suggested on the mailing list the other day, which is not going to happen. But some protocol change, soft forks, hard forks, peer-to-peer layer type of stuff. Anything that benefits others would, well, at least benefits from a BIP. So the BIP process, do you know when it was launched, when it was started?
I believe Amiotaki launched it in late 2011, because the first BIP is called BIP1, and it's dated, you know, September 19th, 2011.
Exactly, yeah. Amiotaki was an early Bitcoin developer, and he wanted to be the Bitcoin development process. He wants to make sure that was a bit more transparent. because up until then, you know, you had developers discussing the Bitcoin protocol and upgrades, and but there wasn't really any sort of documentation of it. So he wanted the process to be more transparent. So he introduced the BIP process.
And I guess he was one of the first people to work on an alternative implementation, right? LibBitcoin.
Exactly, yeah. So that was a good reason for him as well, for that reason, to actually have some sort of documentation process.
Because for the most part, everything is in the Bitcoin core source code, if you want to know what the rules are, and that's, of course, not ideal.
Right.
So more recent soft forks have been written as BIPs.
Yeah. It was modeled after the... I think it was called the Python enhancement process, I think. So PEPs, I think. PEP. Yeah, so it was modeled after that. So at least the first iteration of the BIP process, which is detailed in BIP 1 by Amir Taki, that was modeled, I think, almost directly from the PEP process and repurposed for Bitcoin in a way.
Yeah, and one of the changes, of course, is that Python still has a supreme commander, you know, a leader, mm-hmm. a central authority. So I think there was something like an appeals process or like a final decision maker in the Bitcoin improvement proposal. That is not the case because there is no nobody in charge. So that makes it a bit more complicated.
Right. So, yeah, Shosh, how does the BIP process work exactly? Let's say, you know, you have an idea, you want to... You want miners to stop mining for the first 9 minutes after a block is mined. How do you go about this? How do you turn this into a BIP?
Well, the first step, as recommended by BIP 2, is to talk to people.
Talk on the mailing list. So before you go on, yeah, it is probably good to mention at this point. So BIP 1 was drafted by Amir Taki, and then a couple years ago, at that time and still current BIP editor is Luke Dasher, and he created BIP 2, which was based on BIP 1, but it was refined in a number of ways. So that's why you referred to BIP 2 just now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to make a proposal, you Google BIP 2, and then it says, hey, you may want to check whether other people think this is a, you know, sane idea at all, and if it's useful to them. So you can talk to people, or you can post it on the Bitcoin dev mailing list. You should also do a Google search, you know, to make sure that you're not proposing something that's been proposed a few hundred times before. But even BIP2 says, like, you know, sometimes you can't find that on the internet that has been discussed before, so you may just have to post it on the mailing list and somebody will point it out.
Yeah, the point being, it's a good idea to first actually discuss it with people before drafting a BIP, because odds are your BIP has already been, you know, your idea has already been shut down a while ago, or, you know, like something existed, or it's just a really dumb idea, and you're gonna save yourself a lot of trouble if you first discuss it with some people who've been around for a while.
Yeah, it saves yourself time and it saves others time. So that's
sort of step one, sort of the informal step one, right?
Yeah, and then pretty much it depends on what you're doing, right? But let's take something easy, I guess.
Yeah, like not letting miners mine for 9 minutes.
Well, no, let's take something simpler, like maybe this backup phrase, right? You want a BIP39, the 24 words, and you have a word list. Probably you want to write some sort of implementation for it.
Yeah, but Serge, how do we save energy with that?
Oh, you still want to go to the 90? I didn't read that mailing list. Right?
All right, go on. I'll drop that one. Okay. Go on with your own example then, and we'll just keep wasting energy.
That's a good idea. So basically, you want to write the specification out in a document, but along with that specification should be, at least for some of the types of BIPs, should be an implementation that actually does that. So that you can point to actual software that is actually doing something rather than hand waving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at a patent application, those are usually just very vague, very lawyerly. Like, that doesn't have to be a real product. But with BIPs,
did you know there's a patent for an elevator to space?
I'm sure there is, and that's because you can actually build it.
So you can get to the satellite very easily.
Yeah,
there's also a patent for like a thing that will swing a woman around when she needs to give birth, and then like a centrifuge, and then the kid will just shoot out in a net.
What could possibly go wrong?
But yeah, I don't think these things actually exist. That was your point, right?
Yeah, that's my point, because a lot of people will propose improvements to Bitcoin that cannot actually be built. And so it's nice to have at least some, you know, that thing, yet you should actually write some code.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of Taproot, I think, you know, there was a specification, but there was also a working software implementation. And generally, as you're writing software, you find problems with your specification. And as you write the specifications, you may realize there's problems in your software. And other people will review it, and other people will presumably, you know, you might at some point send a draft version on the mailing list, and then you'll get a bunch of feedback from people. So that's the next step.
So yeah, hang on. So there needs to be some sort of example code, or what's the correct definition? It doesn't.
I think reference implementation is the technical term, but yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so step one was sort of discussing it with people that know what they're talking about. Step two is drafting it, including some code.
Yeah, and I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. Step three.
I don't know, the steps are not actually numbered that way. But the idea would be that you send that, you probably want to send that specification at that point to the mailing list or to a group of people that you think will give you good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the next step is that people will read it and give you feedback and find problems with it. And then it's your job to do something with that feedback.
You ask the smart people if your idea makes any sense. Then you draft it into a draft BIP. You write some sort of example code, and then you go back for feedback, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the story so far. What's next?
And so once you've addressed the feedback and you think the proposal is, you know, good enough,
mm-hmm.
Now it's time to request a BIP number, which is just a matter of saying, hey, Luke, can I have a BIP number?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more than that, right? Like, your BIP does actually need to satisfy a number of formal requirements that are, you know, just a matter of doing it, just a matter of writing it up, mostly.
Yeah, there's some tedious formatting rules that, you know, are explained.
Yeah, exactly.
But what people, I think, will do is they copy-paste an earlier BIP and just turn it into their own BIP.
Smart. So now we have a BIP number. Now what?
Well, I guess the process kind of continues, because now that it has a BIP number, more people will pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably get a little bit more feedback. Other people may, you know, if it's something that needs to be implemented, then other people may try to implement it. Now, if it's a soft fork, you know, that there's a lot more to it, I would say, you know, because that's a consensus change.
Does it make the BIP binding?
Well, nothing is binding, because we're still dealing with this set of anarchists, essentially, right? Mm. The Bitcoin community. Ultimately, what you do in a BIP can end up in a piece of software, and that piece of software still needs to be installed by somebody, and they might just not like it, which is one reason why you really need to seek out this consensus, because if people think that there was no consensus over something, they might just not run it.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to point out, that the BIP process and the overview of BIPs, it is informational. That's also a subcategory of a specific type of BIPs, which we mentioned, but just the mm-hmm. whole thing in itself is informational. It doesn't actually define Bitcoin or even anything in Bitcoin. It is a way of communicating concepts, but it doesn't mean that now, you know, Bitcoin in the end is still defined by people running the software and by the software they're running. The BIP process,
exactly.
The BIPs are a tool. They're not Bitcoin.
Yeah, and a lot of these rules that are specified in the BIP2 are just to make sure that mailing list discussions don't take forever, and that there's some predictability in what's going to happen when you do something. But ultimately, if you're not happy with the whole way BIPs work, you're completely free to run your own website and say, hey, you know, I have a bunch of numbers and a bunch of documents, and I have very different rules. And then people might ignore that or not.
Yeah, that was sort of the next question I was going to ask, for which I, of course, know the answer, Sjors, but I still, I'm pretending to be the journalist here. So, okay. Sjors, What happens? So Luke Dasher is currently the BIP editor. What happens if he becomes evil? Luke turns evil. What's the problem?
First of all, the BIP process is such that being evil shouldn't be a big deal because it's a fairly bureaucratic thing. But there is some subjectivity involved always, you know. Some people suggested using a robot to do this, but that just invites spam and problems.
Mm-hmm.
So an evil person could, you know, do things to the bureaucratic process that frustrate the community. Well, then somebody clones the thing and just says, okay, now this is the new BIP place, and probably copies everything that already exists over.
Right.
I mean, that's not ideal, but I mean, this is the same with, it's even easier than forking the Bitcoin software, right? Because it really just, you just clone the website and say, here's a new website, or here's a new GitHub repo.
It's hassle, but it doesn't actually do anything. Yeah, so you mentioned GitHub already. The BIP lists are currently hosted on GitHub, is that correct?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a Git repository, remember? So everybody can clone a Git repository on their own computer.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be thousands of backups. So if GitHub decides to go evil, that is really not a problem.
Yeah, they used to be hosted as wikis for a while, but I think it's a long time ago. I think probably like 8 years ago or something. They transitioned to GitHub, so they've been hosted there ever since.
Yeah, wikis are nice because you can do collaborative editing. But on the other hand, if everybody starts editing the BIP, then some people might not understand that something is already implemented, and they start, you know, changing the specification of Taproot right from under you, and then you get confusion. Because one node is implementing, you know, an earlier edit than the other. So it's probably good to have a benevolent dictator with very limited powers doing the, you know, having one place to edit the specs.
Yeah, every BIP has one specific champion is what it's called, I think, right? Or maybe sometimes several. But yeah, someone who's basically in charge of that specific BIP and mm-hmm. who's, you know, who's responsible for updating it or...
Yeah, so sometimes...
Taking feedback into account and...
Right, sometimes when, for example, you want to fix a typo in a BIP or... Well, not a typo, but like add a picture, add a chart to it or some clarification to it. What the BIP maintainer will do, then the editor will tag the original authors on GitHub and say, hey, you know, what do you think about these changes? And if all the original authors say, yep, that looks good, then it's merged. So the original authors are kind of in charge of the BIP. But everybody can help improve it.
Right.
Which is a little bit less anarchy than a wiki where everybody can just go in and edit it without anybody signing off on it.
Makes sense. All right. I think this is going to be my final question for you. Shors, are you ready?
I think so.
So I think there are sort of different specifications of BIPs. But that's not quite what we mentioned, is it? Like hard fork, soft fork, consensus, like these kinds of categories?
I think you mean layers.
Oh, that's it. You know everything, Shors.
Right. So the layer, so you could be talking about a consensus change, like a soft fork or a hard fork. You could be talking about the peer-to-peer network, so how nodes communicate with each other. Or mm-hmm. you can be talking about the RPC, which is like a part of the node itself. And you can be talking about applications, I guess, like wallets and things like that.
Right. Yeah. And that's all specified in the BIP.
Yeah. And I guess depending on the layer, there are some guidelines on what the standard of quality should be for what you're writing. So, for example, when you want to change anything about the peer-to-peer network, I think there needs to be at least one implementation. But also there needs to be... in order to make it like final, which is one of the states that the BIP can be in, there needs to be at least a number of nodes out there in the wild actually using this that you
right.
can detect, you
know, right.
as a gauge to gauge whether this thing is actually being used. With the soft fork, it's a bit more obvious that it's being used. You know, it activates in ways we've described in earlier episodes. But with the peer-to-peer networking, you know, not everybody has to upgrade at the same time. So nobody might be using a new feature, or everybody might be.
Yeah. Did you ever draft a BIP?
No, I have helped review a couple of BIPs, but I have not written one myself. Too lazy.
Would you like to? I have a great example that you could use as a BIP if you want. It's this idea.
I know where you're getting to. No, I would rather not.
imagine how much energy we can save, Sjors.
Yeah. I don't have the energy, though, so unfortunately.
All right, yeah. You're not putting in any proof of work.
And I think that was our pun of the week. Anything else?
No, I think that's it from me, Sjors.
Alrighty then. Well, enjoy the heat and the conference.
And yeah, if you're listening and you see me at the conference, come say hi.
Yep, if you're listening and you see me at the conference, it's not me. So, run away. And thank you for listening to the Van Weerdem Sjors NATO.
There you go.